This is TechStrong TV.
I'm Bonnie Schneider for TechStrong TV. And joining me now is John Geeter, co-founder and CTO of Arcvest. He's here to talk to us about how he's collaborating on cutting 60% of aviation's climate impact via contrail prevention. Thanks so much, John, for joining us today.
Thanks, Bonnie. Good to be here.
Great. Can you tell us about your company and the work that you do, a little bit of background on you?
Yeah, absolutely. So company's called Arcvest, and simple reason for that is that we keep trustworthy archives of all the data that powers modern business. It's long been known that we authenticate people entering computer systems. We recently started authenticating things or devices. And now the next frontier of that is authenticating the data that moves between businesses and drives modern decision making. And one of the really great use cases of that, of course, is all ESG initiatives, the environmental, social, and governance that's going on, including things like carbon and global warming.
Can you talk about this new collaboration that you're working on?
Sure. So very exciting with Certavia. They're a aviation climate improvement company. The thing that's really interesting about what they're doing is taking a broader view of reducing the carbon impact of aviation. So a lot of people think about just carbon emissions straight from the engines into the atmosphere. But actually there's an awful lot more to it than that. And what they're doing is tracing contrail emissions. So they have a bunch of data, a bunch of really clever systems and a lot of insight into knowing which routes aircraft can take and what the weather's going to be like and what the temperature is going to be. To actually decrease the contrails, which is basically just water vapor, it's little artificial clouds, to decrease that. Because an awful lot of the impact actually from aviation, in addition to all the other things, of course, that we know well, is those little mini clouds that then collect up heat, they reflect the heat down. And by changing the routes and diverting the aircraft and keeping track of all of that stuff, you can actually reduce the warming impact of those flights. So really, really interesting stuff.
Yeah. Can you talk about the implementation of this process and any challenges that you faced?
Yeah, indeed. So you might be wondering what a sort of data authentication tech company has to do with reducing airline carbon impact. So an absolutely critical part of all of this stuff and getting carbon reporting regulations met and everything else is to have the data that you're using be kind of rock solid. And if you're going to make a transparent or a kind of ethical claim, you have to be transparent and ethical yourself. And so what our platform allows you to do is to have an immutable, as we call it, so tamper-proof record of the evidence that you're using to make these claims, sell credits, improve, whatever it might be. So holding everybody accountable. So in terms of getting this carbon accounting or the green flight stuff going, there weren't too many challenges. It's actually quite straightforward. But the kind of thing that's interesting right now is kind of taking those business needs. Because if we boil it down, we're a blockchain company, right? So people watching who know about that kind of thing, if you boil it down, you need to turn business rules and regulations into small bits of data and code that can run on a blockchain. And of course, we had to work together to work that out and choose what's transparent and what isn't. But actually, surprisingly straightforward actually to get this thing off the ground.
Can you explain how blockchain technology used by Arcvest is benefiting the aviation industry in terms of improving sustainability?
There's a couple of ways that blockchain helps with sustainability. So there's the kind of headline thing that everybody knows, which is it makes the data open. So everybody can see the evidence. You can't change it once it's there. So you can't backdate or hide or fraudulently change claims. All of the kind of transparency and openness. Very powerful, but I think many people kind of understand that if you write down your claims and you stand by your claims, that lays you open. Something that's a little less obvious but really important is that we really drive down the cost of making that happen. Because of course, very, very large companies with big compliance departments and lots of staff and lots of money to spend on traditional databases, they don't necessarily need special tech to do this. They can just employ people to write reports and bring in the auditors once every 6 months, whatever. It's all fine. Whereas using a platform like ours with commercial grade blockchain technology is actually really affordable. So you can start to bring in the smaller players in the supply chain, or you can start to bring in more processes. And so instead of just sort of tackling the big items in the big companies, you can really take a broader view and improve all those little side issues that really add up over time to give you a big benefit. So that's the real move forward, I think, that we've made here.
Well, a lot of our viewers are working in tech and they work in a DevOps area or in cybersecurity. So I was wondering if you can address how you ensure the security and privacy of customer data while using blockchain technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, my background and most of the background of the team here is cybersecurity. We mostly come from an aerospace background. And we actually founded this company to add to the security tech that's already there. So it's great to have signatures on stuff. It's great to have digital certificates. But actually knowing the provenance of the data that's flowing around as well, and being able to trace it and being able to detect sort of man-in-the-middle type fraud, that's something that's not very well looked after today. So the supply chain transparency, integrity, trust mandate that we're currently working on is actually adding to all of that stable of technology. So it's a great it's a great thing to have here. In terms of applying the privacy then to these systems, one thing that's really interesting to consider is to think that the blockchain is actually kind of a layer of the stack. It's not. Sometimes people think it's kind of replacing the database, or it is the database. That's really not the case. What you want to have is keep your existing databases, keep your existing DevSecOps tools, keep your firewalls. All of that stuff is fine. But then you add to that a layer of integrity and provenance that means that when your data or your people or your systems leave the comfort of your home silo and temporarily visit or end up being exchanged with somebody else's home silo, that you can verify that you're dealing with the right one. And then there are many ways of doing that that are sort of more or less privacy preserving. So you might actually want to put everything in the public because you want to defend yourself. You want to say, this is my statement and this is me and this is my stuff. And you want to prove it to everybody. Or you might want to keep it really very secret. And we offer flexibility there, everything from publishing the actual data and absolutely everything is there and it's never deletable, all the way through to simply putting a kind of cryptographic proof that you own something, you said something, you did create this carbon record, but still keeping the actual data safe and away somewhere else. So you don't need to let people into your identity system. You don't need to let people into your home database or anything like that. There's no punching holes through firewalls or setting up special drop zones. You simply make the what we call attestations, put those on a separate system, and it's entirely cryptographically private and secure until you actually choose to let somebody in using all of your means. So yeah, it's extremely flexible and a really good addition to all of the tools they've already got there.
It definitely sounds like a cutting edge technology. I was wondering if you can share with us what your future plans are for this collaboration and other areas in the aviation industry. And also if you think that these collaborations going forward and other plans that you're working on will benefit from blockchain technology.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So I am co-chair of an IETF working group right now. So that's the Internet Engineering Task Force. That's the people who write the RFCs for any programmers out there, called the Supply Chain Integrity, Transparency and Trust Working Group. We're actually working on standard protocols and standard data formats for this sort of integrity ensuring layer that I describe, that will keep any supply chain artifact honest. So we also in Archivist, we have business in the software supply chain and DevSecOps tooling. We have business in nuclear materials handling. And all of these have one thing in common, which is, well, as you take real world items and you digitize them, of course you go from a world of protecting a physical thing to a world of also protecting all the digital copies of it. And what we're looking to do is to make sure that all of those digital copies are as safe and as genuine and as authenticated as the physical item entering your space. So obviously, you know, that's a standards group. I'm working with lots of other people who are doing things like software bills of materials and software integrity supply chain, food, pharma, you name it. If it moves from one place to another, we want to make sure that the information that drives the automation systems, the advanced manufacturing systems, supply chain systems, is fed as legitimate data as possible and can't be like poisoned. Or, you know, a lot of waste in digitized supply chain happens right now because people can't quite trust the data that's driving the machines. And so you still have people doing manual processes over the top, or you'll have audits afterwards, or you'll have secondary systems and things. Really, we want to make sure that we've got systems in place and standards in place that mean you really can flick that automation switch, start the data flowing, and then get on, frankly, with something more interesting.
Well, I mentioned that our audience comprises of a lot of people that work in tech, and since you've had success in this area, could you offer some advice for others that are looking to implement blockchain technology for sustainability in what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, and I'm very keen to, by the way, I think it's a really important thing to realize that there's a whole philosophy around sort of decentralization and transparency that is around collaboration and having much more distributed operations. And that means, you know, having many more people in this space doing this kind of thing. So yeah, definitely welcome lots of people coming in here. I think one thing to realize that's very important is getting to grips with this idea of integrity. You know, the blockchain isn't the database. The blockchain is the ledger. That's the thing that keeps the data honest. But you can put the data anywhere you like. So people worry about speed, people worry about scale, people worry about data storage. None of those are actually a problem. We deal with those in other ways. You can deal with them in traditional ways. But what the ledger does is make sure that everybody has fair access to the data. It makes sure that everybody knows they're looking at the same data, and it makes sure that once the data has been sort of committed or claimed, it then can't be backdated or shredded or modified. So where you've got a need for either very, very high integrity of your data, you've got needs for things like dispute resolution, or you exist in a difficult supply chain environment where things might be tampered with or messed with between you and your trusted partners, any of those areas, that's the place to focus your blockchain deployment on. If you've got other problems like pure privacy or encryption or, you know, things like that, put those in a regular database, put those in Web2. The two play really nicely together. So that's really the place to start.
Well, John Geeter, the co-founder and CTO of Archivist, thank you so much for joining us on TechStrong TV. We appreciate your insight, and I'm sure a lot of people watching will benefit from what you've presented in this interview. Thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie. See you later. Bye.
Great. Well, stay with us. We'll be back just after this on TechStrong TV.